Well, good morning, church. It's great to be back with you guys. You know, I miss you when I'm not with you. Hopefully it's a good thing. I'll be with you for the next 3 weeks, right? You're not stuck with me, but I get to be with you all for the next 3 weeks as we talk about a sermon series called In Jesus. We're going to be focusing upon John 20 and 21, the last two books of the book of John, and really talking about, you know, all the blessings, all the benefits that we have in Jesus. Now, specifically, we're going to be talking about how we are known, how we are secure, and how we are forgiven in Jesus. When you think about, what does it truly mean to be known? I think we all have this interior part of us that wants people to notice us, to really understand us. We want people to know who we really are at our base level and still love us. And we want to know other people in that same way. You know, to know and be known is to be in a relationship. And it's what we all desire, whether that relationship is with friends or parents, girlfriends, boyfriends, or spouses. But there are things, something always seems to get in the way. In many of our relationships, we are not known the way that we wish. And most of the time, our relationships are not as strong as we'd like. In fact, I think we wonder, is it even possible for somebody to truly know me? To truly be known. I don't think I've ever shared this with you all, but I actually met President Biden once. It was before he was president. I was traveling to a conference, and the person who I was sitting next to kind of, you know, bumped my elbow, and she said, do you know Joe Biden's on the plane? And it was a smaller plane, right? There wasn't a first class or a business class, and stowage, where that's where I sit, back in the back. But Biden was just probably five rows up from me. I was on this side of the plane. He was on that side of the plane. He was just five rows. I could see the back of his head. And so when the plane lands, and since I was sitting behind him, I got to exit the plane before he did. And so as I walked past, I said, hello, sir. And he looked up at me and goes, how you doing, man? And, you know, we actually still keep in touch. I text him my jokes every once in a while. And then he sends back, you know, LOL, like Joe does, you know. I've got to be honest, really. I mean, we don't keep in touch. But I did say hello, sir, and he said back to me, how you doing, man? Word for word. But I can almost guarantee you he forgot about me as soon as that interaction went past, right? As soon as I was off the plane, he forgot completely about this person who said hello to him. There is zero relationship between President Biden and myself. But you know that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ proclaims to anybody who is humble enough to listen, it proclaims to us that we can be known. The Bible says this about a relationship with God, and it says that a relationship with God is the most satisfying thing that we can experience in this life. In fact, Jesus puts it this way in John chapter 10. He says that I came that they might have life, that it might be, and have it abundantly. Have you ever considered what it might be like to have a relationship with God? Or if you have a relationship with God, how you could grow in that relationship. Now, before we go too much further, let's read our scripture this morning from John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples with this news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them all of these things that he said to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Right, so wanting to be known is a universal desire. And depending upon our personalities, it might depend how big, how small, or how many, or how few. Right, if we are an extrovert, right, we like people. Everybody likes people. Most people like people. But if you're an extrovert, you like a lot of people. You like to be around a lot of people. And so if you're an extrovert, maybe the idea of being known to you is to have hundreds, if not more, people who know you. And if you're an introvert, you know, you like smaller groups, you like a little bit more quiet. And so the circle of friends that you really want to be known by is a little bit less. Being known gives us this sense of belonging and importance and of being loved. In our scripture passage this morning, right, Mary finds herself alone. She has traveled to the tomb to finish the burial traditions that she wasn't able to when Jesus was taken off the cross, right? Jesus was taken off the cross just prior to Sabbath, and nothing could happen on the Sabbath, especially not preparing a dead body. That would be a big no-no. And so this was her opportunity to come and honor Jesus one last time. But then she comes to the tomb. She comes to the garden, and the body now is nowhere to be found. Jesus looks in the tomb. She looks in the garden. Right? Her purpose, her reason for being, was all wrapped up in finding the body of Jesus Christ. Right? Her teacher was gone. Her hope was gone. Her future was now very much in doubt. I think that Mary thought that if she could know where the body was, she would still have some sort of control in her life. Right? If she could only find Jesus' body, then she wouldn't be alone. If she could find Jesus' body, then she could go on honoring and serving Jesus, albeit in a different way than she was doing before. That if she could find the body, she could go on. But Jesus has different plans for Mary. Because if Mary had been in control, all she would have been left with was death. Jesus, however, wants to give her life. And so Jesus speaks her name, and Mary instantly is known. Now, please hear me, church. I'm not saying that when Jesus spoke, Mary knew Jesus. Because the importance of this passage is that Mary is known by Jesus, not the other way around. Jesus took note of Mary. Jesus chose Mary. Mary did absolutely nothing to deserve or earn Jesus' favor. But Jesus chose to set all of his affections on Mary. Right? Jesus reached out in a place of death and gave Mary life. Mary was known in Jesus. And church, the same Jesus that knows Mary knows you, right? Don't miss that this morning, right? You are wanted, you are known, you are loved. J.J. Packer writes in his book, Knowing God, he says, "What matters supremely, therefore, is not in the last analysis the fact that I know God, but the larger fact that underlies it, the fact that he knows me. I am graven on the palms of his hand. I am never out of his mind. All of my knowledge of him depends on his sustained initiative in knowing me. I know him because he first knew me and continues to know me. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me, and there is no moment when his eye is off of me. or his attention is distracted from me. And no moment, therefore, when his care falters. You know, being known by God gives us comfort in the dark nights of the soul. You know, one Puritan called being known by God as the full and final comfort of a believer. Now, God knows you when you are going through your darkest trial. And this is the truth we've got to come back to each and every day. God knows when I bump my elbow on a door and I cry out in agony. He sees every accident. God knows when my mind is so wrapped up with all the things I have to do, all the things I didn't do, all the worries I have, and I lie in bed for hours. He is keenly aware of my feelings of anger and my hopelessness that often rage within me. You know, during the three lowest points in Israel's history, slavery in Egypt, the wilderness wandering, and the exile, God reassured his people that he knew them. During Israel's greatest trials, God's way of encouraging them was to let them know that he had not forgotten them. He knew what they were going through. Their trials did not escape God's divine gaze. In the incarnation, Jesus relates to our earthly trials. He faced physical and emotional and spiritual agony during his life and death on earth. The one who went through the pain of crucifixion is also the one who knows about your pain. He knows you. He knows your trials. He knows each one of your chemotherapy appointments. He was there weeping with you when you lost a loved one. He knows your every injury and irritation. He sees your despair. He knows how you feel. So don't fall into the temptation of finding comfort, ultimate comfort, in the things of this world. Now, some of these things may be well and good, and they may be a help to us. But even the good things of this world will one day fail us. So don't look for comfort in social media. Don't look for comfort in your hobbies. Don't search for it among your friends. Don't search for it in your boss's applause. Right? You are known by the King. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. Right? In the words of the Apostle Paul from 1 Corinthians 8, anybody who loves God is known by him. So do you love God? Do you know all of what happened in the last week of Jesus' life, right? Palm Sunday, the great triumphal entry, the clearing, the cleansing of the temple, the Last Supper, the trial, the crucifixion, the burial. All of that was done so that you and I could know God the Father's love for us. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've never thought of it that way. Maybe you've never considered a relationship with God was even possible. Right? If the cross and the resurrection teach us anything, it teaches us that God will go to an incredible length to reach us. God loves us. You know, receive, welcome this love. Open your heart and receive his love. God knows you better than you know yourself. And so allow yourself to be surrounded by his love this morning. Follow the urging of your spirit and receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You know, our world has this obsession with self. You know, we say that this is all I can truly know. And this is what we've been taught throughout the years. In the 1980s, it was all about the self-esteem movement. In the 1990s, it was all the self-help or the self-made movement. The 2000s was the self-help movement. In the 2010s, it was the believe in self movement. In the 2020s, the self-love movement. And it's all the same kind of self-indulgent thinking using different titles. Beloved, it is time to stop thinking that we are the solution. that we can do this. And we need to run to the one who can give us the answers we need and the hope we long for. Because the same God who rose Jesus back from the dead wants to raise you to a new life as well. Your life can be resurrected from being known by self to being known in Jesus. Now believe the resurrection power of Jesus Christ today. Embrace the promise. Embrace the gift of being known in Jesus. Because just as Jesus was there for Mary, just as Jesus knew Mary's name, Jesus knows your name. And if you listen, he is calling for you. If you listen, he's whispering your name. Turn, recognize our Savior, and allow him to fully know you. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for your love for us. Lord, you have proven your love for us over and over. Lord, you prove your love for us in leaving the comforts of heaven and putting on a body that gets sick, can stub its toe, could be nailed to the cross. And you did that so that we could be known. You did that to show us that you are accessible. So Jesus, I pray that our eyes would be open just a little bit wider this morning, that we would recognize you, we would recognize this gift, this blessing of being known in Jesus. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. So I may have met a future president once in person. I have a second cousin who actually just retired as a groundskeeper from the White House. He started working during the first President Bush's tenure in the White House. He has pictures of himself and his family with every president up and through President Trump is when he retired. He's got pictures of him playing horseshoes with President Bush. And, it was pretty neat, right? Those presidents knew him. They knew his name. Like, they played horseshoes together. And all that amounts up to is some really neat pictures on the wall. Being known by Jesus changes our destiny. It changes our eternity. It isn't just a good story to tell. They aren't just some fun memories. But being known by Jesus means that there is a place prepared for us. Being known by Jesus means that we have a purpose in this life. Being known by Jesus means that we are not alone. And that is worth it all. It's worth our lives. It's worth our devotion. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for your love for us. Jesus, we're thankful that you desire to know us. You've given everything to know us. Jesus, I pray that we would come to know you better, that we would allow ourselves to be known. Jesus, that we would follow you. We pray this, O Savior, in your name. Amen. 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 God bless you, church. We'll see you next week.